This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in. A live edition of the VSiN College Football
Betting. We'll do it
betting.
Live.
We'll do it live. For those of you listening on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, as always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Joined by Wes Reynolds as Matt Eumanns on assignment on this Thanksgiving week.
I love how you say on assignment or vacation in Hawaii. Yeah, who knows? Somewhere.
On assignment sounds a little bit better, but we got a lot to get to, and I can think of no one better to break down this Week 13 card with than the co-host of VSiN tonight. If you can't get Matt Eumanns, you might as well get his co-partner, his partner in crime, Wes Reynolds. We do have Matt's plays, so we'll get to those as we always do with our best bet recap. But today, a little bit different feel. We're going to go in chronological order, Friday to Saturday. So let's start with Iowa at Nebraska, number 16, Iowa visiting the Corn, a noon Eastern kick on Friday on CBS. And the latest look at the line is this thing has been on the move, Wes. This was actually my first bet of the week. I was looking to back Nebraska, knowing the situational spot that they had, needing this victory to get the bowl eligibility. And also, you look at the Iowa situation, and we can make our jokes about the total of this game being as low as 25 and a half at some spots out there. But for Iowa, it's a rivalry game, but I'm curious their motivation, knowing that they have waiting in the wings Michigan and Ohio State. So I'm on the Corn. I took a pick 'em earlier this week. That number doesn't exist, so we'll lay the shortest money line that is out there. I'm rolling minus 130. What say you on Nebraska, Iowa?
Yeah, that's what I did as well. The Heroes game, which Nebraska, by the way, stopped a 7-game losing streak, winning in Iowa City. They are going to try to get bowl eligible in this one, Tim. They've lost three straight, but they've been within a score in all three games against Wisconsin. Look, they looked like they were maybe going to pull that out in regulation. They do not. Wisconsin gets a ball first. They score. Nebraska couldn't get it in the end zone. But I thought Chuba Purdy did a solid job. Wasn't great. Wasn't spectacular. But Nebraska's had some really erratic quarterback play all season. And Purdy at least has been stable.
Game.
Yes.
Woof.
Yes. Jeff Sims loses his job. And then the Kearney kid from Kearney, Nebraska, Harburg, played and started a few games. Then he gets hurt, loses it back to Jeff Sims. And they give Purdy a shot. And I think Nebraska's probably looked maybe the best they have all season over the last few games.
They have not been to a bowl game since 2016.
That's amazing.
Think about that. I mean, you and I growing up, I remember complaining to my dad saying, are they ever going to lose? I hate this team.
Right.
They're just winning national championships all the time.
Tom Osborne, I'm going to run it until you stop it.
And now they haven't been to a bowl game in 7 years. So a dual play there. We're both on the Corn, as is Matt Eumanns. So we'll see. Hopefully.
That always goes well when we always match up.
You get a little bit nervous. A lot of consensus thinking there. But the market has moved in that direction pretty much throughout the week from a pick out to 2.5 with an incredibly low total. Look, I learned my lesson last week. I normally lay the money line, Wes, in these situations. I laid 2.5 instead with Texas Tech. They block an extra point. They win by one.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, people sometimes say, oh, what are you doing laying a money line on a favorite and all that juice? It's like, no, sometimes you have to do that, especially like in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
When the key numbers aren't in play as much anymore with these teams going for two, and look, you see it in college football too. Teams going for two at unconventional times, going for it more on fourth down. So you got to be able to weigh that favorite money line.
And sometimes it's your state of mind is a little bit better too,
yes,
knowing you've got the money line. All right. Number 13, Oklahoma is hosting TCU. Another 5-6 team. By the way, in totality, I believe 24 teams with 5 wins we playing on Friday or Saturday, TCU being one of them. They are catching 10. This number has been on the move, and I see some 9.5s out there in the market. The noon on Fox, and you are interested in the road dog in this one.
Yeah, I missed the best. I took 10.5 on this. There are still a few 10.5s out there if you shop around, but as you mentioned, right here behind us at Circa Sports, there is as low as 9.5. Dylan Gabriel had to leave the game against BYU. Is he going to be able to go here for the season finale? I TCU, I think, has played hard. They got a little confidence with a blowout win over Baylor. They hung in with Texas a couple weeks ago. We know they've been outmanned, and the season went sideways for TCU immediately, losing to Deion Sanders in Colorado when they were 20-point favorites. But when you look at who TCU lost, they lost almost all of their significant offensive players to the NFL draft last year, quarterback, receiver, three of their starting linemen. And TCU just hasn't been able to get right, I think, all season long. But now they've got a chance to get bowl eligible here. So Oklahoma, I know they blew out West Virginia a couple weeks ago, but they can be a little bit of a shaky favorite. Yep. They certainly, and the market came in on them against BYU last week. I know a lot of that was the Gabriel injury, but Oklahoma was never close to covering that number, even when he was in the game.
Would have been nice if BYU showed that effort against Iowa State as opposed to Oklahoma, but you know, such is life.
Yeah, absolutely. So Josh Hoover, entering the year, you thought it was going to be former Sooners quarterback Chandler Morris that was taken over, but he had injuries. So it's been Josh Hoover, the redshirt freshman, that has stepped up. And look, I think it's had some good games now against the lower competition in the Big 12 with BYU and with Baylor. Live arm, really good instincts. So I think TCU hangs in here in Norman.
Noon on Fox. All right. Also noon, ABC. Hold your nose, folks. And that's going to be a theme of this one. Give me Boston College, those screaming Eagles. I will take the 9 with Boston College. Is it a play on Boston College, Wes? No, it's a fade on Miami. Mm-hmm. Where is the motivation for Miami in this particular game? I give Miami credit, and I don't do that often, but I think they played very, very hard against Florida State, covered that game last week at home with, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of senior citizens that went to that game. They were there until the end and lose to Louisville. Now you're in the midst of this losing streak and you've got to go on the road to Chestnut Hill and take on a Boston College team that, look, Boston College, very Jekyll and Hyde this year, had a 5-game winning streak that, let's be honest, wasn't really that impressive.
Right.
They get their doors blown off by Virginia Tech, a side that I had a couple weeks ago, and then lose to Pitt. Thomas Castellanos, he's a fun guy to back, but this is more of a just situational fade of this Miami team who has now lost 3 in a row, NC State, Florida State, Louisville, and I'm just curious where their mind's at going into a road game Thanksgiving weekend. You know it's not going to be a great atmosphere. It's not going to be great weather. And I'm just going to take the points here with the home team and think Jeff Hafley's squad is going to be relatively motivated to play on national television to wrap up the regular season. Both these teams are headed to bowl games. It's not a bowl motivation angle, but it's more of a fade on where the mindset of Miami here and do I trust them laying north of a touchdown on the road?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't believe Brett Musburger, for old time's sake, is calling this game. Of course, he called the Doug Flutie to Gerald Phelan, famous Hail Mary.
It'd be fine with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see Brett do this game. It would certainly get me interested in watching, but you're right about BC. Look, they started out the year, they lost to Northern Illinois at home. They barely got by Holy Cross.
Should have lost that game, by the way.
They almost upset Florida State in that red bandana game up there in Chestnut Hill. So they start 1-3, but then they win close games over bad teams. Virginia at Army, at Georgia Tech, UConn by 7, at Syracuse by 7. Get their doors blown off a couple weeks ago. That was a really good spot for Virginia Tech. And then they lose at Pitt, who only has 3 wins on the season. There was a reason why a 2-8 Pitt was a 3-point favorite over BC, but I haven't bet this, but I'd be with you on this. I think BC, at least knowing that it's a mediocre season, like a 6-5 season at Miami is a disaster based on what their fan base wants. But BC is going to be motivated for Miami. I don't think Miami is going to care about Boston College. We know Tyler Van Dyke's been beat up too, you know, playing through some injuries. So I'd be on the BC Eagles, if anything.
I'll sneak this one in real quickly because it doesn't need a ton of breakdown. And the common theme, and you know, Adam Burke and I did this on the earlier podcast this week, looking at all of the 5-win teams. And not every team is going to be motivated to get the bowl eligibility. Right. However, when I'm looking at a MAC team like Central Michigan, I think there's going to be some motivation at home to take on Toledo. This is one of those few teams, and we'll hit on a couple. We already mentioned Iowa, Wes. Next week, Toledo, plays in the MAC championship. They are a 10-1 football team, and I very closely watched the playoff rankings on Tuesday night. Why? Because I wanted to see if Toledo got in the top 25, because if they did, I think the motivation might be there for the Rockets to keep the pedal to the metal. Maybe they inch in and get that auto bid if they run the table from here on out. They were not in the top 25. A team like Liberty was. And when I look at Toledo, Jason Candle, pretty historically not great as a big favorite. They've got the most talent in this conference. But look at last year, Wes. This is a team that won the conference last year, down the stretch, lost to Bowling Green, and then lost to a 4-7 Western Michigan team on the road on Black Friday to close out the season. I'm going to take the 10.5 here with the chips. I just like the spot for Central Michigan at home, trying to get the bowl eligibility against a Toledo team that, let's be honest, they should be resting their starters in this spot.
Yeah, Toledo in the MAC title game that you mentioned up at Ford Field in Detroit, they'll take on Miami of Ohio, who won the East Division in a rematch of a regular season game that was very close between the two. But yeah, I look at Toledo. Look, last week, had to come back from way down to beat Bowling Green.
Very fortunate to get the win.
On the road. And Bowling Green probably should have won that outright. Two straight losses on the road for the Chips. So I have not bet this one, but fire up Chips, as they say
come
up
on,
in Mount
Jim
Pleasant.
McElwain.
Yeah.
Jump on that shark and let's get ourselves to cover
time
here.
We got some Bauer power. Jace Bauer, the quarterback of the Chippewa. So I agree with you on this side.
You don't have to agree every time. It's okay. It's okay. We'll get to our best bet recap at the end of the show, but more Friday night games and then a loaded Saturday. Yes, we're going to talk Ohio State, Michigan. Don't worry. We're going in chronological order. It's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping as they take a drink. Hey, all our best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll get unlimited access to our vsin.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up for our Black Friday deal now. Get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $60. vsin.com/subscribe. Alongside Wes Reynolds, I am Tim Murray. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Wes, I'm going to toss to you because I got something stuck in my throat. Texas Tech, Texas, you're on the dog here.
I am, and I'm, you know, missed the 14, 13.5, though. But look, Texas Tech, I think, was the team that we kind of all thought, hey, this is going to be the sleeper team, right? And then they had some quarterback injuries. They've got the kid Morton back, who I think has really been their best quarterback for the Red Raiders. And look, you're going to see this be a common theme, I think, here on this card this week, is the fact that you've got one team that's going off for greener pastures, quote unquote, and the Texas Longhorns are going to be leaving just like Oklahoma is for the SEC, leaving Texas Tech and TCU, their former Southwest Conference mates, behind. So there's some motivation there. And obviously, you know, Texas Tech, they got bowl eligible last week with that win hung on over UCF. Don't cover the number, but they do get the outright win. So, you know, Texas is a team, and they haven't really been getting away from a lot of teams. Now, it was a grinder game at Iowa State, and they did get the cover, even though there were a lot of people on the dog. They win 26-16. TCU couldn't pull away from TCU. Couldn't keep Kansas State away. Kansas State actually probably should have won the game if there was some better play calling down the stretch by Chris Kleeman, or maybe he kicked that field goal to go to another overtime. But yeah, Texas hasn't really been blowing teams out. They did blow out Kansas and they did blow out BYU, but that was earlier in the year when Quinn Ewers was healthy, and now he is back. But I like the Red Raiders. Like, they might treat this, and some of these teams that are bowl eligible, I think are going to be more motivated for their rivalry season finales than they are for the mid-tier bowl games that they go to.
Yeah.
So this is going to be, I think, treated as the bowl game for Texas Tech. And, you know, they haven't been scoring a lot of points, the Red Raiders, but they've been defending and they've been making plays when they had to. Held on against Kansas a couple weeks ago. Did the same against UCF. Three-game winning streak for Joey McGuire and his guys. So I like the Red Raiders. Guns up.
Yeah. No, I was on Texas Tech last week, as mentioned earlier. Probably should have went money line instead of laying the 2.5. Didn't foresee a blocked extra point being my demise, but yeah, Texas Tech was that chic pick, so to speak, start of the year. Still not over the Oregon bad beat, even though we're here in
I know. I thought Tyler Shuck was going to get his old mates, and it seemed like he should have, but
now in the transfer
that did
portal.
Not. Yes.
Now in the transfer portal. This game on Fox, 7:30 on Friday. 13.5 for Wes Reynolds, and also an official play for Matt Eumanns. He is with Wes on this one. Guns up for him as well, taking the 13.5. It is a big, big Black Friday, and we'll wrap up with on Fox, Oregon State at Oregon, number 16 Oregon State in the latest college football playoff rankings, number 6 Oregon. Oregon looking ahead, maybe. It's not official yet that they're in the Pac-12 championship. They do have to win this game. Taking on Oregon State. Right now, they are laying 13.5. Could have got 14 earlier in the week. And I think that's the way you're going to position yourself in this particular spot. Oregon State catching 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, Platypus Trophy on the line in the former Civil War,
yep.
What this was originally called, between Oregon and Oregon State. And look, I understand the Beavs close loss at home in Corvallis. You know, how much energy is this team going to have left? I think that they're going to have enough. And this is a Beavs team, by the way, that can run the ball. One of the best in the country, 192.5 on the ground. I think they're about right in the top 20, average 5.5 per carry. So this is a team that can run the ball and extend drives, because you saw that even though Washington had the lead, they kept that offense off the field for a decent amount of the game, and that's what kept it close. And look, Oregon, obviously everything's on the line, so it's not a question of motivation here, because they're still very much alive, not only in the Pac-12, but in the college football playoff. Certainly they got to take care of Washington the following week and then not slip up here against the Beavs. But I like Oregon State in that dog role. They were a small home favorite, actually, yep, last week against the Huskies. Couldn't get it done, but I think that this is the better role for Oregon State. I think DJU has kind of revitalized his career up there in Corvallis, done a very good job, has a really good running game behind him. So I thought 14 was a little bit too much. There's still a couple 14s out there. It's mostly 13.5, but you know, it might show over the weekend, but early money certainly has been on the Beavs, and I'm with it.
Yeah. I'm conflicted on this one with my Bo Nix to win the Heisman at 30-1, but also over 8 wins for Oregon State, which looks like it will close the season in a push. Really could have used you guys beating Washington State. That would have been, that would have been nice. All right. Black Friday in the rear view. All eyes to Saturday. The game, Ann Arbor, number 3 Michigan, number 2 Ohio State. Big noon kickoff on Fox. As we sit here, Ohio State laying 3.5. You can find a 3 out there. And partner in crime of you on VSiN tonight and normal co-host of this podcast, Matt Eumanns, is going to lay the 3 with the Michigan Wolverines in this particular spot. I got a text from a buddy of ours who believes this might be a popular dog, a dog with fleas, some may say. For me, I'm going under. I'm going to go under 46. I think the two best units in this game are their defenses, Ohio State and Michigan. When I look at the 3 biggest games of the season for both of these teams combined, right? Ohio State at Notre Dame, dead under game. 17-14 final score. That final touchdown, of course, coming with 1 second to go, is 3-0 at the half. Ohio State, Penn State in Columbus, 20-12. Late touchdown from Penn State in that one. And then Penn State hosting Michigan, 24-15. And I'm also not convinced, and a lot of people have pointed this out, Wes, I don't think J.J. McCarthy's healthy heading into this game. I don't trust Kyle McCord whatsoever. I really don't have a great feel on the side in this one, but I just kept coming back to the under. I don't know if this is going to be a popular under. It probably will be, but I'm going under. I think this is a 20-17, 17-13 type of game on Saturday in the Big House.
Lean for me, and obviously you did mention two of the top three national defenses. Yep. Penn State actually sandwiched right between them, but big game James came up small yet again against both of these opponents, by the way, as Penn State will settle for third in the Big Ten East. But, you know, I look at this game and I do lean Buckeyes a little bit on the side. I have not bet this though yet. I may not end up doing it. I don't have to bet it to watch it because I'll obviously all the eyeballs will be on this game. Two against three, winner going to the college football playoff. It looks, seems like it's a lose or leave town, even though Ohio State played the better schedule. For Michigan, I think certainly if they lose that schedule, your best win might have been UNLV.
Yeah.
Other than Penn State, of course, might have been UNLV. So, you know, this is going to be interesting, Tim, because for the first time this year, because we've seen the gradual improvement of the Ohio State defense with Jim Knowles, the former Oklahoma State defensive coordinator, now calling the signals there in Columbus. We've seen the gradual improvement. But in the big game last year, Ohio State couldn't get stops. They couldn't do it against Michigan. They couldn't do it against Georgia. But this year, for the first time, I think the defense really won them a big game when they won that game in South Bend, and certainly Notre Dame had something to do with that as well.
But 10 is 11 is better than 10. I mean, that's usually that's the way I like to go about it. But I do wonder, are we at this point, you know, as we handicap these games, Wes, are we shortchanging the fact that Jim Harbaugh won't be there? He wasn't there against Penn State. We know how that played out. They were able to get the victory. But last weekend, it was nip and tuck as a 20-point favorite.
Yeah, Maryland hung around. I think it was Jesse Minter that was kind of the interim head coach, if you will. Very good defensive coordinator, but they let Maryland hang around last week. And Ohio State had Minnesota, and they took care of them in very short order. You know, just kind of got comfortable, were able to get some different guys in the game. But if I have to, I'm probably going to be on the Buckeyes here. I know it might be end up being public doggish, if you will, and I never like to be public doggish.
It's
high profile games, but
it's headed that way though. Real quickly before we hit a break, a game that you were on. I'm on Central Michigan playing Toledo. Miami of Ohio is playing Toledo next week. I'm fading Toledo. You're fading Miami of Ohio here.
Yeah, chirp, chirp. I'm on Charlie Cardinal here in the Ball State Cardinals, who, by the way, 4-7. They cannot go to a bowl game, but they've won their last two. They covered at Bowling Green. Then they beat Central Michigan. They hung with Toledo, only lost by 7. They got this quarterback now, Kyle Kelly, who's not really a thrower, not a great thrower by any stretch of the imagination, but really makes up a lot on the ground. And I talk about not a great thrower. He was 4-14 against Kent State for 71 yards. So, going to be a running quarterback running there for Ball State. So I like the Cardinals and Muncie to upset Miami of Ohio.
Noon on CBS Sports Network, Ball State plus 6.5. Also noon on Saturday, will Louisville be looking ahead to the Noles in the ACC Championship?
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
You know, there's so much to be thankful for. Family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours.
Tim, do we have an official drum major for the College Football Betting podcast?
I like it.
I feel like we need one, though, from one of the HBCUs, though, man, because that's the highlight of those big HBCU classics is the Battle of the Bands, man.
Yeah, we got Grambling and Southern coming up.
Yes, the Bayou Classic down in New Orleans. So that will be on this weekend. I'm sure some shops will have some prices up for that one as well.
Yeah, not yet, but there will be a price, no doubt, out there. It is a special VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim Murray, Wes Reynolds with you. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Let's keep it rolling. We are in the final regular season week, but don't worry, plenty of breakdowns for the conference championships next week and bowl season. And speaking of those conference championships, Louisville, Jeff Brohm and company, They are checking in at number 10 mm-hmm. in the latest college football playoff rankings. They will be taking on Florida State, a banged up Florida State, of course, with no Jordan Travis. It'll be Tate Rodemaker going for the Noles. But before they get to Charlotte, they have to host arch rival Kentucky at Cardinal Stadium, noon Eastern. This game will be on ABC. Point spread 7. It really hasn't moved off of it. I haven't bet it yet, but I am certainly intrigued by the dog. I believe you are as well.
Yeah, I am too. I have not bet this yet. The Governor's Cup down there in the Commonwealth of Kentucky here. So, look, Louisville, we knew that they were going to kind of be a little bit of a sleeper team just because the schedule was pretty hospitable, especially in the non-conference. But the season win total cash, but I did not expect 10-1 out of this team. And if you really look
and
at
their low in losses to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly. and look, Jack Plummer is a fine, and I know this is going to be a backhanded compliment here, but he's a fine, like, game manager.
Fine young man.
Like, he's not one of those guys that are usually in the Brom Brothers offense that chucks and ducks all over the field. Like, they've had some of them guys at Purdue, but it's really Louisville getting it done with the running game. That's what they have done all year, is run the ball and, you know, okay, Jack Plummer, take care of the football, you know, make some throws when you can. But it's all about the running game for the Louisville Cardinals. And that's why you see them at 10-1. Kentucky, I think a pretty disappointing season. They got off to a good start because they played a soft schedule. They got that win over Florida. And then a lot of the market came in on them against Georgia. And I was like, man, this might be the hammer spot on the dogs. And it certainly was. 51-13.
We were on the dogs on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Kentucky had no energy the next week against Missouri. And then they had a bye week. And then I came in on them against Tennessee.
I did not
cover at home. And look, Kentucky, just a 5-0 start and 6-5. That seems like, oh man, they're going in the wrong direction here. But I lean to the 7 here a little bit with the Wildcats and the Louisville Cardinals. Obviously, check the weather for these games if you're betting these, especially on the totals. But Kentucky, to me, I think Devin Leary started to get healthy and started to kind of come into his own a little bit. I know he threw that late pick at South Carolina last week where they were driving for the winning score.
Steam last week on South Carolina.
Because
favorites.
South Carolina, obviously, they were up against it, and they're trying to get bowl eligible, I believe, this week against Clemson.
3 o'clock Eastern, noon here in lovely Las Vegas. The best cover team in all the land, the UNLV Rebels, 10-1 ATS, 9-2 straight up, taking on San Jose State. You can get a 3 out there at DraftKings. Market's starting to move towards the Spartans. 2 weeks ago, Wes loved San Jose State. Off a bye, taking on Fresno State. Fresno State had played a whole bunch of close games, including one against UNLV, and it was a hammer time for San Jose State. San Jose State, after a 1-5 start with a brutal schedule, they are now bowl eligible, 6-5, and they have an opportunity based off of tiebreakers to potentially get in the Mountain West Championship game. Now, their potential, but UNLV is definite if they win on Saturday at home against Allegiant Stadium. And if they win, they will get the winner of Boise State and Air Force. So a lot on the line Saturday afternoon in Allegiant Stadium. By the way, if you're looking for national television, don't look too hard because it ain't on national television. UNLV San Jose State, what do you got here?
Yeah, that's a shame, too, because the Rebels, as you mentioned, they are playing to host the Mountain West title game, which would be on a Saturday after the game at Allegiant on Friday, the Pac-12 title game. So we could get a double dip of college football. That'd be nice here in Las Vegas. But look, I was impressed with UNLV. I thought even though Air Force didn't have Zach Larrier in at quarterback, and they certainly missed him late in the second half, especially on that final drive. Air Force was up 27-14 at the half. UNLV shuts them out in the second half, 17-0. So every time you think the Rebels, man, this moment's going to be too big for them, every single time they've delivered, basically, this season. They did it against Wyoming, did it against Air Force.
Market bet Wyoming like they knew the outcome, and it was never really in doubt.
Yeah, and look, the Rebels, Barry Odom's done a tremendous job. Brennan Marion, that's going to be a hot name in coaching circles, the offensive coordinator for UNLV. Barry Odom's probably going to be a hot name, to be honest with you, too.
I don't
want to disappoint Rebel Nation out here, but I don't know how much longer you're going to hold on to this staff because plenty of ADs are going to come calling, but I like San Jose State here when in the 3. Market's starting to come in on them. I just wonder, because now it's all on the line for the Rebels. And there's been a big drive here locally to, you know, get people to come out and watch this team on Saturday. I expect that they're probably going to have their best crowd of the year at Allegiant Stadium. I certainly would hope so. This team certainly deserves it. But San Jose, you know, Brett Brennan is a guy I trust in these type of games. They can really run the ball. I know they got off to a sluggish start against San Diego State last week, but were able to put away the Aztecs. So, this is a 9-2 against a 6-5, and yet it's only 3. And I think the market might be telling you something here on the Spartans.
Yeah, San Jose State has really been playing well. Very balanced offense. Chevin Cordero, preseason Mountain West Offensive Player of the Year. Also, friend of VSiN Primetime coming on coming on the program here. We had both coaches on, so we're cool with
Do
both.
Do you have a VSiN Primetime like Jungle Karma?
I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I don't think so. I don't know. Apple Cup. Washington State. Good news this week, by the way. This rivalry will continue for the foreseeable future, which is something you like to see. This game will be 4 p.m. on Fox. Number 4, Washington jumping Florida State in the latest college football playoff rankings after their win over Oregon State. And Washington, once again, it's a bit of a theme here. Bowl eligibility is a theme. Looking ahead to a conference championship is a bit of a theme. And we got both of them. Washington has already locked up a spot in the Pac-12 championship here in Las Vegas next week. And Washington State, 5-6, started 4-0, lost 6 straight, and then last week put it on Colorado. So Wazoo now 1 win away. You can get a 16.5 out there at DraftKings and a handful of other spots. And that's the way you're looking here. You're looking towards the dull.
Yeah, I wonder if Washington State did stop the bleeding. Obviously, they totally fell off the map, too. Just you look at how...
Lost to Stanford 10-7.
Yeah, after they beat Oregon State and went to a bye week, they lose at UCLA, and it was actually a more lopsided than the score indicated. 44-6 to Arizona, competes at Oregon, gets in the back door, loses to ASU, loses to Stanford, loses to Cal. They needed Colorado last week, and that was the get-right spot, I think, for Washington State. And look, they're going to treat this as their bowl game. You know, I don't think Washington State's going to be motivated at being in some mid-tier bowl. This is their bowl game. This is the Apple Cup. This is the last Apple, not the last Apple Cup in general, but the last Apple Cup in terms of Pac-12.
Yep.
So, look, like we said with Oregon State, Oregon, it's like you guys look at us as little brother. You know, we're the school that's in the little small remote area like Oregon State is in Corvallis. And, of course, Washington State on the Palouse and Pullman. So you look at that. I think that motivation matters because, you know, we get into numbers, Tim, and we crunch the numbers. We get into the stats and all that stuff. But these are a lot about motivation here. And Washington's clearly motivated. But when you've got an underdog that at least has some motivation, I think it's about beating Washington. And it's about, hey, how can we screw over our rival who has an opportunity maybe to play for a national championship in about a month's time? But boy, we can really send them hurting. And this is going to be one of the most memorable Apple Cups ever if they somehow pull the upset. So I am on the Cougs here. They have been battling a lot of injuries, though, down the stretch. But this Washington defense, man, it's tough to lay them as favorites.
Yeah, no.
It's really tough. Like, they couldn't cover against Utah. They covered against USC as underdogs just because small favorites, I should say, just because USC really shot themselves in the foot.
You were at that game.
I was.
I was on USC on that game. And
as was I.
But you look at Arizona State now, the flu bug was reportedly running through them. That was off the Oregon game. Didn't look all that great against Stanford. So we will see. Michael Penix's numbers, though, we talked about it on the edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast earlier this week with Adam Burke. Numbers for the Heisman dropping a little bit. Maybe a little look ahead. Just a
Huskies
little bit.
Have been living dangerously.
Yeah, we will see. Very intriguing spot. Dare I say, my most favorite spot of the week. We'll hit it next, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We are on YouTube as well, the full episode. So if you want to see Wes Reynolds' lovely face, Of course, why not? YouTube, baby.
Lovely, I guess, is a different description than most would have.
We will have our best bet recap, so if you haven't been taking tabs at home, that's all right. You know, we always tell. Got the recap coming up. Matt Heumann's plays from the island we will get to. So, Wes, this final week of the regular season, as we have hit on a lot, there's a lot of situational angles. And you and I and Matt Heumann's as well are big-time situational cappers. Mm-hmm. That's the way I've always kind of bet, especially in college football. And maybe I like this spot too much. Sometimes you see a spot and you like it a lot, and you're like, oh, man, maybe I like it too much. But I really like this particular spot. Let's go to Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Okay.
The Fighting Jerry Kills, congratulations on a phenomenal year. Started off with a loss to UMass at home, and then last week they go on the road, get $1.5 million, I believe, from Auburn, and left there with a big check and a 21-point victory. Next week, New Mexico State will get an opportunity to win Conference USA against unbeaten Liberty. Oh, by the way, this week they have to play Jacksonville State. A Jacksonville State team, who you may not know this, is 8-3, but not in short a bowl game because of the ridiculous rules that the NCAA did not waive. So Jacksonville State needs to hope that there are not enough 6-6 teams bowl eligible so that Jacksonville State and James Madison get into a bowl game. We have seen a flip of favorites. When we talked about this on Monday night, myself and Adam Burke, this was Jacksonville State plus 2.5. It is now Jacksonville State minus 2.5. Look around. You can get some minus ones. Find the cheapest money line. That's what I'm doing here for the podcast. It'll be minus 120, 125, whatever it is right now, whatever the cheapest money line is. Like I said, you could have got plus money on Monday. Situationally, I love this spot. And Diego Pavia is banged up. And if you're Jerry Kill, Wes, in this particular spot, and this isn't Washington, Washington State, Louisville, Kentucky, does New Mexico State care about Jacksonville State?
This is the, to get into the Conference USA championship game, because Liberty, of course, is 7-0 and undefeated overall.
But New Mexico State, or so remember, Jacksonville State not eligible
for that. So New Mexico State, they can't get past, because I think Western Kentucky is 4-3, so they're already in. And look, New Mexico State, they go to the plane and they beat Auburn. Boy, I did not expect that. I thought it was going to be the other way around. You know, laying out a New Mexico State team that, oh, by the way, has the second easiest schedule in all of college football. The easiest was Liberty. Now, to be fair, Jacksonville State's down there at 125 out of 133. Yeah. All these Conference USA and MAC teams down there pretty low. But yeah, I worry about Pavia being banged up. And, you know, Rich Rodriguez has done a really good job down there at Jacksonville State. And, you know, they run that similar offense, a very, very quick tempo, one of the quickest tempos in the country. You know, a lot of run pass option. That's basically what they run, a lot of zone read stuff. So I think they could maybe wear down New Mexico State, because even though New Mexico State got the win, when you play a team that has more talent than you, that, you know, has stronger guys, quite frankly, you take a little bit of a physical pounding. And I wonder if New Mexico State, despite getting the win and cashing that big check from Auburn, if that's going to show here, you know, a little bit of wear and tear off playing a physical SEC team.
Well, remember this too. New Mexico State is playing 13 regular season games this year. They didn't have an official bye. Now, they played some weekday games, so they had a Saturday to Wednesday, and then they wrapped up their weekday games going Tuesday to Saturday, but no full week off this year. I think if you're Jerry Kill, you recognize the situation. You're playing on a short week next week against Liberty on the road in Lynchburg, Virginia. Recognize the situation. I think Jacksonville State is fired up. I will go with the Gamecocks. I believe you're with the Gamecocks as well.
I'm on the Gamecocks as well.
We ride. Let's go, Rich Rodriguez. Get it done. All right, let's get to the late night slate, where each of us, me, Wes, and Matt Heumann's, all have a after dark play. I will go Pac-12 after dark, and I have a little clip we will play here, courtesy of the starting quarterback from Cal, Fernando Mendoza. This was after Cal's 27-15 win over Stanford last week. Here's Fernando Mendoza just telling you how fired up he is about this upcoming opponent.
The job's not finished. The job's not done. And if we were to beat UCLA, I'd not be on this podium. I'd be crying. However, in the back of my head, I know the job's not finished, and we want to go bowling. And that's our goal. We want to go bowling. We want to make a bowl game. But everyone, maybe, like I said, this game means more. So everyone's just exhilarated, just celebrating the locker room, having a great time. I'm sure everyone's going to go out and celebrate tonight. But we all know that Sunday, Monday comes around, and we got to be focused and dialed on UCLA.
Justin Wilcox said, big deal. Real big deal to go bowling. Motivation, baby. UCLA just smashed arch rival USC.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the 9 with Cal here. There were 10s out there. I missed the 10, but I will take the 9 with the Golden Bears.
This seems like such a, like, I don't want to say disappointing way for UCLA to end, because it's like you want to end on that high, beating your arch rival in the Battle of Los Angeles. And plus, with all the discussions and the scuttlebutt of what Chip Kelly's status is going to be there in Westwood, also the bad publicity that came out. I don't know how much of that's been confirmed. Of course, we remember Colorado. Some of their players had jewelry stolen, apparently by UCLA recruits on official visits. That's all. That's always a good sign of character with recruits. But nevertheless, UCLA getting Cal here. And look, Cal is another team, even though Cal is off to the ACC. UCLA, you know, the UCLA and USC were the first two to kind of abandon the Pac-12. They get really put the bullet in the conference. So these teams, they don't forget that. Is, you know, Pac-12 after dark about to be a thing of the past. Pour one out. I'd lean your way here on Cal. Certainly the market is doing so, because those 10s have disappeared.
10:30 Eastern on ESPN. Last time Cal played in a bowl game, the Red Box Bowl in 2019. All right, we will lump in your final play, a Mountain West after dark play, with your best bet recap here, Wes. You're going to San Diego, the swan song for Brady Hoke.
Yeah, I took him last week. Had to kind of sweat it out, though, because I was worried San Jose State. They were about to break off a run and get ahead of the number. But yeah, I'm on San Diego State here. And it's not that necessarily, I don't know if it's a, you know, win one for the old coach necessarily. It might be here at San Diego State. And Fresno State, a horrible performance against New Mexico.
Gross.
Yeah, and lost easily. Like, New Mexico was leading pretty much the entire game. So Mikey Keene, by the way, got banged up. So, you know, you have to monitor his health going on the road. I don't believe that there is a scenario, if I'm wrong, Tim, that Fresno State can make the conference title game. UNLV, Air Force, Boise State, San Jose State still obviously in the mix. So, you know, San Diego State, look, season's going to be over. Some teams, they mail it in. They lay an egg. But some teams, they come in and they use it as their bowl game. I think the Aztecs maybe do that here.
All right, Wes, run through your plays. We've got a Niner?
Yes, we got a Niner.
Run through the Niner.
And I'll have more Nine later this week as numbers change. Nebraska and Jacksonville State, small money line favorites. TCU plus 10.5 against Oklahoma. Texas Tech, 13.5 against Texas. Oregon State, I bought the hook. There is a couple rogue 14s out there, but it's mostly 13.5. Ball State plus 6.5 against Miami of Ohio. San Jose State plus 3 here at Allegiant against UNLV in Las Vegas. Washington State plus 16.5 in the Apple Cup. And San Diego State plus 6 at home against Fresno.
All right. 9 spot from Wes Reynolds, VSiN.com/picks, where you can check out Wes and all of his plays this week. All right. Let's recap mine. Starting on Friday, the Corn, Nebraska money line. Find the cheapest money line out there. That's obviously moved quite a bit. We're trying to use the most accurate and most recent numbers. Central Michigan, more of a fade of Toledo in this spot, with the Rockets playing in the MAC championship against Miami of Ohio next week. Boston College plus the 9, more of a fade of Miami. We're going Jacksonville State short money line price against New Mexico State. Cal plus the 9 against UCLA under Michigan. Ohio State 3-3 week last week. And let's run through Matt Heumann's plays. He went 4-4 last week. Nebraska money line, so that's all three of us. Texas Tech plus the 13.5. He agrees with Wes Reynolds. He found a rogue 3, which is out there on Michigan, laying the 3 with the Wolverines. Kentucky plus the 7. And Wes, a tradition unlike any other. Matt Eumanns playing the last game on the card, and that would be Hawaii plus the 6 against Colorado State.
Worked out for him last time against Air Force a couple weeks ago.
20-point dog winning outright. All right, that's going to do it. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Happy Thanksgiving to all. That is Wes Reynolds. I am Tim Murray. Thanks to Matt Eumanns for his plays. Let's get ourselves a winning weekend. Talk to you next week right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.